My dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this night, it is in thanksgiving and praise for all the blessings of life that You've given us. It is in thanksgiving for this opportunity that we have had this day to meet in Thy house, to renew, Father, our minds, to hear Thy Word preached. We pray, Father, for this service, that Thy Spirit would be poured out upon us. We look to Thee, Father, that You would truly touch the speaker. Pray that You might give him the words to say, and I pray that You'd open our ears to hear it. I ask, Father, that You would continue to bless Thy people spiritually. We stand in need of Thy strength in this day, knowing of the many temptations that are always set before us. I pray, Father, that You would be with our loved ones that are sick and afflicted and unable to make it here this day, this evening. Pray that You'd continue to lift them up and strengthen them. Pour out a healing spirit upon them. I pray for Pat McCollum, that Thy Spirit would be poured out upon her. I thank You for the blessings she has received, and pray, Father, that You would continue to bless her, that she'd heal quickly. I do ask, Father, that You would continue to bless those, Father, that have great and horrible physical problems that are beyond the care of doctors. And I pray that You would pour out Your Spirit upon them, that You would strengthen them, Father, that they might know of Your blessing in their life. I pray especially for the work of the gospel, that You'd pour out Your Spirit upon those, Father, that are pure in heart, those that are good and desire to know the truth. I pray that You'd call out to them. Bless the work among that ancient covenant people here in North America and Central America, Father, wherever there might be a desire among them, that You might search them out, call them back under the covenant. I pray even now, Lord, that You would truly bless us this night. We look forward, Father, with an eye of faith, knowing, Father, the many things that are to take place in our world shortly. I pray, Father, that You would help us, buoy us up when hard times come, that we might be found faithful unto Thee. And so it is that we lift up our voice unto Thee this night, and we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. I know the speaker doesn't require any, really don't need to tell you who he is. And most of you have seen him in his life, and you know that he spends a great deal of his life trying to serve the Lord, trying to help others come to a knowledge of Christ. And I don't very often get an opportunity to assist him up here anymore, and but I've learned a lot from him in my life. And a great deal of my life, the way it is because of his the effect that he had in my life as I was growing. And I cherish that. And I ask that You would give him Your prayerful attention. I ask that You pray for him, that when you leave tonight, that you can take something with you, something that would lift you up, something that would give you great cause to think and concern yourself with. And so I give you my dad, Hubert Yates.
Thank you, son. I guess one of the the scariest things there is for those of us who have to occupy here is that we can do justice to a subject that we feel like that we need to speak on. So oftentimes it seems hard to convey what we feel in our heart, because sometimes it's hard to find the vocabulary to explain how you feel and what you feel. And so I do ask an interest in your prayers tonight, because I have some things that I need to bring to you. And I hope that you follow me along, because I have a message this evening. And I would like to say before I get started that the gospel of Christ has always been a positive message. I want you to think about that for a minute. The gospel of Christ has always been a positive message. Because from the beginning to the end, from the time that He has created man, to today. His message has caused one's heart to be filled with joy and with peace and with hope and with understanding. His message has been given as a pathway, as a vehicle to come to the knowledge of His Father in heaven. His message has been one that bears witness of the promises of His Father. It has been one that has bear witness of what you have in store for you and what I have in store for me if we hear the message of life. If we look to the message of God as a positive message and not a negative message, and not one that we can either take or reject to suit our pleasure, but one that is essential for our soul welfare. This is what I want to bring to you tonight. I want to bring a positive message, but yet in that positive message, there are those things that we have to be aware of because it is a positive message. It's a message that prepares a soul. That prepares a soul for eternal life. It's a message that pervades the heart and the mind and the souls of the children of men and bears witness of a loving Father in heaven. That bears witness of His eternal power. And yet in the power that He possesses in His love and compassion, He reaches out to the souls of the children of men and even sent His only begotten Son to speak that we might listen a positive message of eternal life. And so I'd like to begin tonight with a positive message. One that is satisfying. One that is preparing. Your heart and mind and your thinking and my thinking, preparing us for the day that we stand before the judgment bar of the Almighty God and to be judged by the positive message that was sent through His Son. And He said that these words which I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me. It has been a positive message from the creation of man down henceforth and forever. Is the gospel of Christ to eternal salvation. I want to start in your Book of Mormon in the 15th chapter of Alma on page 407. I'm going to try to move along this evening if I possibly can. And on I'm going to start in the 49th verse. And here this is Alma speaking. This is Ammon speaking. And, you know, they've had a lot of wars, and they saw a lot of people killed, and they saw them slaughtered, and they saw them molded, the bodies, they saw them molding in the trenches, they saw them molding in all the things around, and one thing and another, and he said, while many thousands of others truly mourn for the loss of their kindred, yet they rejoiced and exulted in hope, in the hope. Yea, and even know, according to the promise of the Lord, that they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God in the state of never-ending happiness. It brings a hope that even though they died in war, even though they died for the right to worship God, even though they did those things, there was a hope because they had a hope of the resurrection of life. They had the hope of that resurrection that Jesus Christ hung on the cross and arose the third day and lived with those people over there 40 days and nights and taught them the way unto eternal life. They had a hope. They had a hope of that salvation that was brought by the Son of the living God. They had that hope. They had the message. The positive message of eternal life in Jesus Christ. The positive message is what they had. And thus we see how great The inequity of man, the equality of man, excuse me, is because of sin and transgression and the power of the devil, which comes by the cunning plans which he hath devised to ensnare the hearts of men. You know, the scriptures tells us that there's an opposition in all things, and the old devil comes with a devising plan to snare the heart away from God. He comes with a plan that is not a positive plan. He comes with a negative plan, one to destroy your soul. He comes to teach you the opposite of what Christ would teach you. He comes to filter into your heart and your mind and to filter out the righteousness, to filter out the things that are essential for your soul's welfare, to whisper His teachings that draws you away from the hope, that draws you away from the joy, that pulls you away from the eternal life that has been given and set by the Son of God. That positive way, the positive message of life, even to the point that He tells you that He's no longer Satan, that there isn't a devil. He tells us these things. He's telling it to the world. It's all about us. We're looking at the world today, and you're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecy spoken of by Jesus Christ. Of the days that we lived in would be like in the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking and making merry and hooraying for our side and marrying. They were doing those things that were opposite of God, and so He destroyed the world. That should be a positive message to you and I. Or like He said it would be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuals and all those things that enters in a day that He tells us it would be in, a day of fornication and adultery and wrath, of ungodliness, of those things that we would look at the signs of the times and know where we're at. He has given us a positive message, that those with a thinking mind, those who have eyes to see, those who have the ability to read and to call upon God, to send that Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth that bears witness of those things, that you might see the plan of Christ as He presented it to us by His blood and through the grace of God, that we might recognize the plan of Christ and recognize that it is the only way and the only true way and the only positive message unto eternal life is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and through those things that He taught and lived as an example for you and I, as an example for all periods of time, back then, today, henceforth, and forever, that He set an example for us that we must walk in, a positive example towards His Father in heaven. That's the example that He has set. 51st verse. And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord, and thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. Joy. Joy. As we look and we see the paper and you look at the news, we're looking at the destruction of men. We're looking at what happens in the wisdom of men. We're looking when they don't put away, as we heard our brother talk this morning in the Sunday school class, that self-will. We're looking at it. And if we're looking and we're working as in a self-will, if we're moving in that direction, then we are not and will not be under the light of Christ unto life. We must come to Christ. We must come to that positive message of eternal life. We must know that Jesus Christ is the light. And like I said before, you and I can fool ourselves and you can say, I got a light. But you don't have a light unless Christ is in your life and active. Say as you please. Fool yourself if you desire. But the only time that you have a light that would possibly glorify your Father in heaven is when it's sponsored by the power of Jesus Christ. And that He's alive in your life. And then your light shines with the candle power that the world can see that glorifies your Father which is in heaven. That's the positive message, that if you have that light and you don't put a bushel of sin over it, that the world will see the light. Or they might not want to come to it, and they might not want to believe in that Father, but they'll see the light. They can't hide the light of Jesus Christ when it's in a life of an individual or of nations or bodies of people. They can't hide the light of Christ. It's an impossibility. The only one that can put the bushel over my light is Hubert Yeats. I have the power. I have my own will. I have my own free agency to snuff out my light. And then with the positive message, I have the power to let my light shine. And it drives the shadows out of the world's heart and mind to see Jesus Christ. Because the shadows are the absence of light. But in Jesus Christ, His light pervades the heart of the children of men that will yield their will to His and be submissive unto the power of the Almighty God. Then the light of life shines to the hearts and the souls of those about you. Then they see that you have that hope. And you have that hope because you carry within you the positive message of Jesus Christ of eternal life through the grace of God. Then you have a powerful message to carry to the children of men, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to set an example for Jesus Christ. That's when that power to do those things come into our life. And without it, it's not there. It's not there. Let's go on. 52nd verse. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. To cry repentance unto every people. Boy, isn't that something? Did you ever think about the power of that key that was instituted and developed and brought forth by God the Father and through His Son Jesus Christ, the word repentance, the word that helps you and I to endure to the end, the word that helps you and I prepare ourselves that we could be made perfect? What would we do without the vocabulary of God? What would we do without the vocabulary of love and compassion and peace and serenity? Of obedience, of repentance, of remorse, to recognize that we have not been following the message of the path that is positive. What would we do? Do we think that man instituted repentance? We don't like to forgive each other. We want a whole lot against each other. That's why the Lord finally comes and said, now listen here. You know, if you can't forgive that brother, I don't forgive you. Yeah. Those words is a positive message to you and I of a God that loves you. Those words is a positive message to you and I of one to whom every soul is precious. That the positive message of life has been prepared, that you might be able to lay hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of eternal life, and walk in it. and know that the joys that fills the heart and the souls of those who believe and follow after Jesus Christ to the best of their ability. That's what that is. That's what this is all about. That's what we're here for. We're not here to be a carpenter. We're not here to be a welder. We're not here to be a school teacher. We're not here to be anything like that. We're not here for that. We're here to work out our salvation. That's what we're here for. And whatever time that is allotted to us, we got that. My mother's here, and she's 91 years old. But I'm not sure I'm going to live that old. So I need to repent. I need to exercise the love that God has given me through repentance and repent and put my heart in order and ask Him, You mold my heart. Because if I mold it in my humanness, the Scriptures tells me that the thoughts of man and the ways of men has been an enemy to God. And the only time that your thoughts and my thoughts aren't an enemy to God is when we have yielded to the Holy Spirit and have allowed the God of life to touch our hearts and to bring the light of life and the light of hope and the light of the resurrection in to our life and softened our heart and made it pliable for the words of Jesus Christ. That we want to apply it to our life and put it to use and to use it daily, like our brother read this morning out of Luke, where he says that we were to take up our cross daily. Daily. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about yesterday. It's about today. What are we doing with our life today? Because we might not be here tomorrow. It's today that we've got to put in order. This day. This is the day for you and I to put things in order. Let's go on here. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, 53rd verse, as with a voice of thunder, repentance, and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. Oh boy, what a beautiful, positive message. That if we would come to God and repent and put His teachings in our life, there'd be no more sorrow in all the world. And boy, look at the heartache. Look at the strife. Look at the fear that this world is possessed of by old Satan. Look what we have. Look what we have. But if it was through Christ, if we repented, why, look at the difference it would be. I'm sorry, Patricia, but I had to blow my nose. I see her laughing. You know, there are things that happen. There are things that happen in our life that are humorous. And that we enjoy. But you know that's God. You know, He never intended to have a people that looked down and could never look up. He didn't intend to have a people that didn't know how to smile and how to laugh and how to sing. He intended to have a people that was a people that lived in happiness and in joy. And in peace, that knew laughter, that knew singing, that knew the love one for another, that understood and knew the love of Christ. That's what He intended. He didn't intend to have a sorry people that was afraid to smile, that was never happy, that walked like they felt like they were downtrodden. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're not downtrodden. Oh, the world might give you a bad time, but if you're in Christ, and if the world is giving you a bad time because of Christ, lift up your head and be of good cheer. Because that's a sign that your light is shining. Because the world is giving you a bad time because you know your Savior. That's the sign. And so it's important that we realize that. I got to go on because I have a lot of things I want to bring to you tonight. Yea, I would declare that every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. But behold, I am a man, and I do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. You know, that's one of the hardest things for man to be, is content with the thing that the Lord has allotted unto them. So oftentimes we think that we need more and we want more. We want more than what the Lord has allotted unto us. And I'd like to ask you, what could you get more of? What could you have more of that's so important in your life? What is it? When the Lord sent His Son for you and I, what more could we ask? What more could man tack on to that of the Son of the living God? A Savior, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Oh, there's a lot of wants, but there's difference between wants and needs. And it's important that we realize that you and I have been given a commission in the heritage of Christ to hold up a light. What more do we want? Do you realize how lucky you are that out of the world of what, 5 billion or whatever it is, or 7 billion, how many, Donnie?
Too many to count.
Okay? Out of the world of those billions, for some reason God touched your heart, or for some reason you were born to be raised in the restoration gospel, or for some reason you come in contact with the restoration gospel and was drawn in to know the true Jesus Christ. What is it that you want? What is it more that you'd ask for other than that eternal life? What is it that you feel like that you got to have? Is not the grace of God, is not the blood of Christ sufficient for us? Is it not? Is not the message of salvation, is not the positive message of Jesus Christ sufficient? Yes. It is sufficient for those who believe and for those who endure to the end. And the Scripture says we must endure to the end. That's what the Scripture says. We must endure to the end, the same to be saved. We must endure to the end. And I ought not hollow up my desires, the firm decree of a just God. For I know that He granteth unto all men according to their desire. He granteth unto all men according to their desire. I would ask you, I'm not telling you tonight, I'm going to ask you, what is your desire? What is the desire of your heart as you come here tonight, or that you got here today? What is your desire? He's going to grant unto you your desire. Is your desire to follow after Jesus Christ? Is your desire to be one who shall be saved through the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you one that who has, like the Scripture says, to be redeemed from sin, not redeemed in sin? What is your desire? What is my desire? That has to do with the welfare of your soul. There's a positive message that reaches out to you tonight. And that message is from Jesus Christ. And that is repent. Repent. And come unto Him. And follow Him. Follow Him. You know, when we were taking trail drives,
We were driving along one time, you know, riding along, and I was bringing up the rear. My dad was in the lead, and we were driving horses and as well as had a bunch of riders, you know, and we were riding along there and just going fine. And finally I got to looking, and boy, we missed some boys. We had some teenagers with us, and boy, they weren't there. And so I rode up front, and I told Dad, I said, I'm going to have to drop back and see where in the world they're at. So I started back, and I started tracking. And I found where they just turned off the trail and just started off. And I tracked them till just about dark. And I rode up on them, and they looked up and said, oh, hi, Hugh, how are you? They didn't even know they were away from the bunch. They didn't even know that they were away from the rest of the group. Had no idea, or they might have been scared to death. And you know, the world is full of people that don't know that they're away from Christ and they're following the wrong path. And they were singing, and one of them was beating on his canteen on the saddle, and he was singing My Happiness. And boy, they were just going along there, and there were three or four loose horses in front, and they were just following them along like that. And they thought they was with the bunch. They were going along with the crowd, and those horses were turning right straight back down through the deep canyons into the Verde River. And boy, when they found out they were going along there for hours all by themselves, then they got spooked. You know, we went in and we found a trail across there. And we went in and the Forest Service says, you know, come and mark it for us. And so we went through and marked the trail for them. And you know, they went out and still got lost and we had to go find them. And you know, it doesn't make any difference how the trail is marked. Unless you're looking and unless you understand the trail, you're in trouble. But we have a trail. We have a path. We have a direction. We have a course that wasn't marked by a notch on a tree. It wasn't marked by streamers put out like the surveyors do. It wasn't marked by a stack of stones. But it was marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was marked by the Savior. To edify to you and I that He has provided a way and that we would recognize that path because we could see the blood. We could see the direction of that Savior. He didn't come and set a path and have it just very dimly looked at so that you would wander away and be lost. He died on the cross to save us. And He has provided that path. He has provided the message of life. He has provided the positive message of life so that those who have a desire to see can see. And those who have a desire to be obedient can be obedient to that path and to follow the path. And that path takes us to God the Father and to eternal life. He marked it by His blood. He marked it through the grace of God for you and I to follow. And you know, yet the world and people go along and are just singing and hurraying for our side, and they're not even following the trail. And a lot of them don't even know it. They're just going along. They're going along with the crowd. And they've been off the trail for a long time. They don't have a positive way. There's only one positive way, brothers and sisters, and that's in Jesus Christ. The only positive message that's ever been given on this earth wasn't given by a man other than the man, Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from a man. In all the education of man, they still want to have a evolution rather than a creation. In all the wisdom of men, they still want to fight the gospel of Christ, or they want to apply their understanding to it so they can twist and maim and rub out the blood so that you can't see the path. They want to take the blood off the way. And that's what's the matter with the world today, and that's where you and I are supposed to rise up to let our light shine. That's our job. That's our job. That's our way, is to let our light shine. That's a commission to each of us. That's a challenge for each of us, is to allow ourselves to be used by the power of God. That's our challenge, to prepare ourselves that we can be used by God as an instrument in His hands to bring people to Christ. That's our challenge. That's our way. And you know, He tells us that we'll know Him, that they'll know us by our fruit. He's going to tell us that they'll know us by our fruit. And I don't know. Is there anybody in here that's hungry? Come on up, Adam. Boy, he's hungry. See that banana? Boy, that turned him on, didn't it? Hey, boy, get over here. Here you go.
Oh.
Well, here.
I don't want that.
Well, I can't understand that. How about a pear? Okay.
I don't want that one either.
You don't want that neither? Oh, well, my goodness. You know, I want to bring a point here. Thank you, son. I want to bring a point here. It's not what you have been. It's what you are. This one here at one time was yellow and enticing just like that. That's why Christ says we must endure to the end, the same to be saved. You can bear fruit and you can allow it to become old and allow it not to be something that's desirable by those about you. You can lose it to where people don't want to have anything to do with it, that they can see. Oh, you know, I could tell him, well, now listen, you go ahead and eat this. But that don't even look good. I can tell him all kinds of stuff. And you and I bear fruit the same way. And if our fruit isn't fit for the souls of the children of men, if it is not sponsored by the Spirit of the Almighty God, it will not be fit for the consumption of the souls of the children of men. But that has to come through and by the power of God in Jesus Christ. And it has to come through an endurance. Oh, we can look back and say, hey, I used to be good fruit. It's not looking back, it's today. Are you bearing good fruit today? Parents, are you bearing good fruit for your children if what they see is it withered and gone? Or if what they see is it for that would nurture the soul? What is it? What is it? You're bearing fruit. You know, my dad used to tell me it don't make any difference who you are or whoever you meet. He says when you meet somebody, he says you're going to leave them with an impression. And you are. I don't care if you meet a person one time, they're going to leave with an impression about you, whether it's good or bad. Yeah? What kind of fruit are we bearing? Are we one that had it, and now we're just going ahead and decaying because we have begun to separate ourselves from Christ? Have we begun to separate ourselves from the positive message of eternal life? What have we done? Have we begun to do that? Don't we know that though we're here, that we can do that we can separate ourselves? It's not the height. We're not going to stay there. It's a continued work. If we want fruit that's meat for the souls of the children of men, it's because that we have taken up our cross daily and followed Christ. It's that because we've done that daily. It's not because we've come along and said, well, now wait a minute. 5 years ago, why, I was a good-looking banana. Huh, kids? But today, I'm black and wrinkled. What happened? It's just like when you pick a flower or if you take the fruit off the vine. You've severed it from that source of food that feeds it, that sap. And when you and I take ourselves off the vine, remember, we have a decree that we can do as we want. When we take ourselves off the vine of Jesus Christ, He tells us in St. John, He says, I am the vine. And if you're severed from that vine, you begin to immediately wither and die. not only in this life, not only do you lose the happiness, not only do you lose the thought of the hope that you have within it, not only do you not begin to have problems in this life, but in the life to come, because we haven't endured to the end. That is a crucial point. The key is repentance and endurance to the end in righteousness. That's the key, to hate iniquity. To hate iniquity and to love righteousness. That's the key. That's been the positive message from the very beginning of the creation of man, is to hate iniquity and to love righteousness, to hate those things that would draw us away into Satan, and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard this day, with all our might, mind, and strength. That's the message. That's the positive message of eternal life to you and I. It's a message that's been taught and spoke of through the generations of time of those who believe. I want to make notice here. Those who believe. Those who don't believe don't have the positive message. That positive message is to those who believe and know the truth, is where that positive message comes from. I got to get along here. I got a lot of scriptures reading. My time's running. 56th verse. Yea, and I know that good and evil have come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires, whether he desire good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Yeah, joy or remorse of conscience. Did you ever do anything that you thought about and you were sorry you did it? But that's a decree. You and I. You know, if we didn't know the law, that's one thing. But when we do know the law, and we begin to violate the law, we're skating on thin ice. We're saying, Lord, help me live long enough that I repent and walk that way no more. That's what we're saying. That word repentance is still in order, Lord, because I've got to do it. And now, seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? And why should I desire that I was an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the Lord in two books hath counseled in wisdom men and women. If they will take the counsel, that counsel will lead them to eternal life. That's the positive message that's given of the God that created us. Was a positive message of eternal life if we'll accept his counsel and not try to counsel him like the scripture says. We don't try to counsel him, but we ask him for counsel. And so oftentimes you and I want to counsel him. We want to tell him what we think he needs to do. We want to tell him, you know, well, I think you ought to do this and that and one thing and another. Rather than seeking counsel, we want to give counsel. And that gets us in trouble. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. And I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and in this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. And I would like to ask you a question. If it's so important, and would it be so joyous in one thing and another, to bring someone to repent, to come unto God and to come to Jesus Christ, wouldn't that be neat? Did you ever ask yourself? Did you ever look in the mirror and ask yourself, how neat is it that your actions would take someone away from God? If it's really joyous and happiness to bring someone to God, how about your actions if it took someone away from God? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about the fruit that you're bearing? Did you ever think about the attitude of your heart? Did you ever think about what you're saying? Did you ever think about what should be in your heart? Did you ever know that it has to be cleansed by the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Did you know that just as equally the joy and the happiness of one who has caused one to repent and come into Christ, what do you think the sorrow? What do you think is going to happen if your actions would cause one to pull away and not endure to Christ? What do you think? Did you know that there's two sides of the coin? Do you know that you and I, by our action, can induce somebody to do something opposite of God and to pull them away from the Christ, the Savior, the positive message, that we can pull them away and cause them to be lost? It's just like somebody that wants to drink. Hey, you kids back there, I want you to listen to me for a second. It's just like someone that wants to drink. You know, you might start drinking and you might find the strength to quit drinking. But the one that you entice to drink with you might not find the strength to quit drinking and turn into an alcoholic. And so you say, well, I'm going to repent and come back to Christ. But how about the ones you influenced? Will they remain an antichrist? Will they have the desire of their heart to turn back to Christ and repent? Or will they laugh in your face when you bring it out the day that you recognize the fact that you must fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you? What about that? You might make it back, but how about the ones you've enticed? How about the ones that you have brought and coerced and everything to pull away from the gospel of Christ? Are you then going to have the power to overcome the everlasting decree of God that they have a right to choose? Can you then go twist their ear or grab them by the nose or twist their arm and say, you got to repent and come back to Christ? That has to come through the will of you and I. That has to be our will. That this life is a life to be lived in the light and not in the darkness. It's a life that we are responsible for other people. Isn't that what he said? Am I my brother's keeper? Amen. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. You bet we're our brother's keeper. Because your action and my action might entice a brother or a sister to lose their soul. You bet we're our brother's keeper. We're our children's keeper by the influence that we put before them. Are we going to cause them to lose their soul? And behold, when I see many of my brethren truly penitent and coming to the Lord, their God, then is my soul filled with joy. Then do I remember what the Lord hath done for me. Yea, even that he hath heard my prayer. Yea, then do I remember his merciful arms which he extended towards me. Yea, and I also remember the captivity of my fathers, for I surely do know that the Lord did deliver them out of bondage. And by this did establish his church, yea, the Lord God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, did deliver them out of bondage. And you know he did. He took them out of bondage, didn't he? He took them out of Egypt. And it wasn't just the fact that they were having a hard time making a living and putting out a lot of hard labor, but they were also in bondage to the Spirit of God because they wasn't getting a hold of it. And God took them out of bondage. And I bear witness to you today, and I lay before you a challenge in Jesus Christ. If you're bondage in your life, go to the Lord. And he can lift you and take you out of bondage. Go to the Lord. Fall upon your knees. Repent and ask for strength and help. And He can deliver you out of the bondage of Satan that will destroy your soul and drag you down to hell and chain and bind you to where there's no deliverance. That's bondage. That's eternal bondage that comes through those who leave the mark, who have missed the mark, who has missed the message, the positive message of Jesus Christ of eternal life. That's the bondage. That's the bondage that you and I each day have to overcome. No, not yesterday, but today, now. Now, at this given time, in this day of 1994 of November the 13th, are you in bondage? If you're in bondage, stretch your hand to Jesus Christ. And He'll relieve that bondage. Reach forth. And He has the power to give you peace. He has the power to help you overcome Satan. He has the power to give you eyes that you can see with. The world's got eyes, but they can't see their Savior. The world's got ears, but they can't hear the positive message of eternal life through Christ. You can possess eyes and ears. You can possess all those things. But unless they are in tune to the voice of Jesus Christ, it will be of naught in your life. It has to be in tune with the gospel. It has to be in tune with the message that the Savior left. It has to be in tune that your eyes can see the path that is spotted and marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. That you know wherein that we should walk. That's the point. That's the positive message. The positive message is happiness. Eternal happiness and joy. Eternal love. Eternal serenity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the positive message that's given. The positive message is if you come unto me and repent with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and walk that way no more, I'll forgive you. That's the positive message that He has reached out and hollered and proclaimed it across the nations of the earth. You know, this message has been so positive, and He has brought it out. I want you to turn over to page 556. And He had that positive message, and it meant so much to Him that I'm telling you that the Scripture tells you that He had angels declare it. He had angels declare it. He had angels declare that message so that you'd know. Not only men like me, not only men like your servants that you have here, your ministry, but the Lord even sent angels to declare it, as well as His Son, to declare the message of life. And I'm going to read here. Well, I'm going to have to hurry. I'm going to start up here, I think, quickly. I'm going to start there at the 70th verse. And now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you, which desire is that you may not do these things that ye must boast, but that ye may do these things to lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven, yea, which is eternal, and which fadeth not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose hath been given to our fathers. Remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that He cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words of Amulek spake to Zizrom and to the and in the city of Ammonihah. For he said to him,
that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sin, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him for the Father, said for the Father to redeem them from their sin because of repentance. Therefore he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance. Isn't that something neat? He not only gave us repentance, but he sent his angels to declare the tidings and the understanding of repentance to try to help you, to try to help me, to try to bring us, he says, to the salvation of their souls. He had prepared that. He had prepared, he sent angels to tell us of the way to properly repent so that he could save us. That's a positive message, wouldn't you say? It's different than the world, because the world says you do as you please. The world says, oh my goodness, you know, we don't have to worry about things like that, you know, after all, you know, just believe and you're saved, and, you know, there's no action here, there's no action taken, you know, just believe and everything's fine, and it's all hooray for our side, and just believe, and you're saved, and you don't have to do nothing. You know, the Lord died on your cross, but the Scripture says that redemption is of no avail to you and I unless we receive the positive message. And that positive message is Jesus Christ. If we don't receive him, what good is it? I just called Adam up here to give him some fruit, but he wouldn't eat it. Christ can hang on the cross and teach us the way, and he can lead the blood-stained path. But you and I don't have to receive it, because we have a God-given right to leave the path wherever we want to and just do as we please until, the Scripture says, we stand before the judgment bar of God, and then it's no longer our pleasure, it's his. You know, when Jay brought out this morning that God is a merciful God, I'm here to tell you he's a merciful God. That's a positive, known fact to those who know him. He's a merciful God. But the Scriptures also said that mercy will not override justice. If by your own volition and by your own choice, you refuse to follow the gospel of Christ, you refuse to see the blood-stained path that was set by the Savior, by your own choice, he hung on the cross not for you, but for those who would receive him in his heart, that would receive him in their heart and be obedient unto his holy commandments and recognize the positive message of eternal life. I'm going to read here on page 153 real quick in your Book of Mormon. That's the 12th chapter. I'm going to start in the second verse. He says, all things which have been written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, especially unto our seed, which is the remnant of the house of Israel. And I'm reading now that book. I want you to listen to it. I'm reading now that book. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, behold, I am the Lord, and the other shall say, I am the Lord, and thus shall every one say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall say contend, and they shall contend one with another, and there shall be, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning. I'm here to state to you today that this world is teaching with the learnings of men and not the learnings of the Almighty God. They are not teaching of the learning of the positive, but they're teaching of the learning of the wisdom of men, which is the negative. The only time it becomes positive is when it's in the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only time. And deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And we know the Scripture says that those who follow after and are baptized, they receive the Holy Ghost, and it will remain with them forever. And then the Lord goes on, but he says the world can't receive it. And isn't that an odd thing? Yet the world all tell you they got it.
And the world always wants to tell you about the Scriptures and what they know and their understanding of the Scriptures, and they're speaking without the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost that giveth utterance, and it's the Holy Ghost that is the Spirit of truth that will teach all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Why do we think that we had an early revelation given in the church that it was given by the power of God and says, I send forth my elders to teach and not to be taught? What does that mean, Bill? That means that he is instructed by the inspiration of the power of the Holy Ghost to those who have followed him, that they might understand and have eyes that see and ear that hear the voice of God, that they might teach with influence and power of the Holy Ghost the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ, the message that is positive unto eternal life. And they wasn't to be taught by the wisdom of men. And the world is full of the wisdom of men today, and they're being taught by it. And sometimes even in the Church of Christ, we follow the wisdom of men and not that of the Spirit of God. And deny the power of God, the Holy Ghost of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. And of course, we know it's not our precepts. I better not teach you my precepts. If I begin to teach you my precepts, don't you believe it. It better be the precepts of God. That's what that better be. Not a man, but the one that created the man and breathed the breath of life therein. Behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say that there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. I've heard this. I've had people tell me that if there's a miracle wrought, that God didn't do it because he don't do it anymore. He did his work. So if there's a miracle wrought, old Satan did it just to deceive you. Now, ain't that really nice? Isn't it nice to believe that Satan has so much love for us? That he heals our sick. Isn't it fantastic that Satan has so much love for us that he draws us to Christ? Do you believe that? Who are they kidding? That spirit that touches a heart to follow Christ and to be a Christ-like and to do the things that we see him do isn't the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit of the miracle of the love of our Almighty God. That's what that is. Not a Satan. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it will be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. God has never justified committing a little sin. If it's sin, it's been against God from the very beginning. If it's sin, it's not the positive message of eternal life. I'm telling you that right now. No matter how small or how large. If it's sin, the Scriptures tell you that sin and iniquity has no place in His kingdom. How small and how large, if it's sin, it's against the holy commandments of God. It's like the Apostle Paul said over there in the 5th chapter of Corinthians. He says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Look out, guys. That can be the Church of Christ. That can be your family. That can be anything else. Be careful. You know, I've come here several times, and my sister Betty has come and brought bread here that she baked. And you know, she uses just a little bit of leaven. And boy, it makes that whole loaf of bread swell. Look out. A little bit of sin causes the whole thing unless you repent. It causes you to lose it. And that little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. Be careful. That's what happens when we lose our sight. That's what happens when we begin to lose our value of the fruit. That's what happens when they don't know us anymore by our works, because our works are no longer of righteousness. You can't hide it. People can see it. I can tell you I got a light and not have it, and you can tell me things, and you can say, hey, I'm all right, but when I'm around you sometimes, I could feel the evil spirit. They don't go together. Do you think that God can't reveal to whom He so chooses? God still has the power to reveal to those whom He chooses the problems of the people. And the spirit, that's called discernment. And we better know that there are those in our midst that has discernment and can discern. Our brother Housenick used to have discernment. He told me one time that's a gift. That's really hard because it puts you in a bad place, and sometimes it does, but it's a gift that's necessary for the survival of the body of Christ, for the survival of the souls of the children of men. Discernment is necessary. Justify the committing a little sin, yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. You're digging a pit for your neighbor if you're not living the life that you say that you believe in. When you say you're a Christian, there's a requirement that goes with that. When you say that you believe in Christ, and that's a walk with Jesus Christ. When you say you're Christian, there's a requirement. You're saying that I'm following Christ. You're going to be of Christ. There's a requirement there. Don't ever think for a minute there isn't. And don't ever think for a minute that your action doesn't affect others. If you don't think so, you let somebody in this room get mad at another and jump up and yell at them and everything and see what kind of action happens. Don't you know that your actions, don't you know that the things that you say, the things that you do affect those about you? There's no other way. I don't care what you want to say. It affects those that are about you. It either affects them for good or it affects them for bad. Which one? Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the one that affects someone for good and to come and to follow Christ, the positive message of life, or one that has a tendency to take them away? Which one? And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words shall be in the dark. And the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. And that's a point I want to make. Did you ever think about your life and about you and how you think? Did you ever think that the blood of the saints would be crying out against you about what you're doing to God? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that the blood of the saints would be crying out against your action or against the action that you didn't take? The things you didn't do? Did you ever think that the blood of the saints can cry out against you? They can cry out against me? By my actions or by the actions I do not take, that the blood of the saints can cry out against me? Is He an unchanging God? Amen. The blood of the saints still cry out of the dust of the earth against unrighteousness. They cry out against those things that are opposite of the Holy God. Today, just as easy as they did then and will down through the evidence of time, the blood of the saints will cry out against that which is not true. The blood of the saints will cry out when there's no action taken to reach out to a sin-sick heart or to take action upon wickedness and sin and iniquity. That's the job of those who believe in the positive message of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Yes, the blood of the saints. I'm going to read one more scripture. I had a lot more scriptures I wanted to read. Now I'm going to read two more scriptures. I'm sorry. I'm going to read one in Isaiah. I want to bring you a hope. I want you to know that in Christ there's a hope. In Christ there's a way. Don't ever think that you don't have a hope. You got a hope in Christ. In Him is your way. In Him, through repentance and following after Christ, is the hope of our eternal life, yours and mine. You know, I can be like that old black banana, but I can't ride on my morals yesterday. I got to ride on my works today. Today is the day that I am judged of my works, because I have come to the knowledge of the gospel of Christ, and I know when I'm violating the law. I'm reading the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to start in the 28th verse. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. You know, I'm going to apply that to a little bit. You know, when I was younger, I used to go out and I stomp all over the mountains, and man, it was just easy for me to go over. I mean, you know, I can't do that anymore. I'm 62 years old, and you know, my son right now, and both my sons, Ed and Joel and Bob and Jay and them, boy, they got out on the mountain and they just stomped all over the mountain, and you know, I can't stay with them like that anymore. But you know, some of the young come back and they were tired. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get tired and you're going to get weary and you're going to be drawn down by Satan unless you seek the strength of Jesus Christ. You're going to get tired in this life. You're going to get tired and wore down, and Satan is going to take you over. You better look out. I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how old you are. You're going to get tired, and you're going to be wore down unless you're depending on Christ, and you know that only in through and by His name can you be saved. It's through Him only. And you're going to be tired, and you'll say, well, how am I going to be tired? First thing you know, you're going to be using profanity. The first thing you know, you're going to be backbiting. The first thing you know, you're not going to be supporting the church. The first thing you know, you're not going to be coming to church. The first thing you know, you're not going to be praying. The first thing you know, you're going to have visitors that's not of the Lord. That's how discouragement is a workshop of the devil. Look out. There's a lot of ways. The positive message tells you to look out. The positive message tells you what to look for. The positive message says this will destroy you. The positive message says be careful and endure to the end. The positive message says take up your cross daily and come and follow me. That's the positive message of eternal life. Now, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength is in Christ, not you. Not you. You know, I take my son down to the fire department, and every one of those fire stations I go to, they got immaculate pressing sets. Boy, they got weightlifting in each one of those fire stations like you can't believe to keep them in shape. So if they have to carry you out of a burning building, they can pick you up. A lot of those young fellas down there, you look at them and they're just like a bull. Boy, they're all muscled up and they're strong. You know, now that's for a physical thing. But you and I have to be muscled up and strong in Jesus Christ spiritually. So when it comes to a wrestling test with old Satan, through Christ, we can overcome him. Now, they're strong physically. But, oh my goodness, they can have a bad time spiritually. We've got to be strong spiritually. The day is coming that we've got to be strong or we're going to lose it. The day is coming that we're going to know what it means to endure to the end, because the time's coming that that tribulation is going to be upon us, and if we aren't prepared, we're going to lose it. You have to prepare, and I have to prepare in Jesus Christ. I have to repair by repenting, by prayerfully calling upon the Lord regularly, by helping Him as much as possible and asking Him to help me, that I can overcome and endure to the end. That my eyes wouldn't lose the sight of the path of Christ. It would be single to the glory of God. But if they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and faint not. They'll have the power of the Savior, the grace of God with them. That's what it means. I was going to read the 19th chapter of Psalms, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to read the last verse. And then I'm going to quit. He says, let the words of my mouth. I want you to ask yourself in conversations with other people, what is the words of your mouth? He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Woo, he gets serious quick, doesn't he? The meditation of my heart. What is the meditation of my heart? Would it be for your soul's welfare? Would the meditation of my heart not cause the blood of the saints to cry from the ground against me? Would the meditation of my heart give an invitation to all men and women of the world to know their God and their Savior? What is the meditation of our hearts? You're the only one that can answer that. What is the meditation of your heart tonight? Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. There is a positive message in Jesus Christ. He says, reach forth. Take my hand. I'm your Savior. I'll lead you. My hand has not been shortened. Neither has my mercy been deleted. And neither has the message that I bore and lived to you for eternal life been void. But it shall all go forth and come back through and by the power of the Almighty God to save the souls of the children of men that knows that God the Eternal Father has a positive message for you and I and for the world. And that's to walk righteously in obedience to the holy law of God. And if we don't, we better repent and get it in order in a hurry and remember that we are our brother's keeper and that our action could cause a precious soul to be lost. And if our action caused a precious soul to be lost, make no mistake that the blood of the saints would cry out of the dust against you. For the whole thing is salvation to the soul, to the children of men through Jesus Christ and through His love and compassion and through our holy obedience unto Him, that the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable unto Him. Thank you.